Alan Marr from Changing Ireland magazine joined Donny Tarrant on Monday's edition of Northside Today to discuss the magazine and to talk about how it was originally launched and the market at which it is aimed. Alan also tells us about some of the topics covered in the current issue of Changing Ireland.
It's a community development focused magazine, so it's basically a magazine all about communities, but national. And it's about positive stories, kind of from the grassroots and like from on the ground. It's a magazine of journalism as well. I suppose I was a journalist for a lot of years and became editor of this magazine, founding editor. And it is going in 19 years, it would be 20 years in March, Donny.
Well, congratulations, and an early congratulations to you on that one. Alan, I'm just looking at this, and I'm going to quickly run through the articles that's in it for our listeners. A new website, your own one, launched by Minister
yes.
Ring.
Yeah.
An editorial written by yourself, I think. On the Road, Rural Researchers. Breach Quilligan, vocal and eloquent speaker on behalf of the travelling community. Minister Ring again is in Rialto launching a five-year strategy. Community creches, why they're different, that's in relation to childcare. The Leader Programme, now anybody coming from the country would be very familiar with the Leader Programme and how it's a brilliant example on how to apply for it. Empowerment, over 150 leaders trained. Funding, insider tips on how to get funding. People power at the ploughing. Well, that's obviously speaks for itself. Future storms, online communities, consultations. Carlo publishes a guide in that. Citizens engagement, local to the global. 150th Gandhi anniversary, the Taoiseach statement on that. Nomi, Monaghan County Council's challenges, and libraries. 100 libraries opened by 2022. Alan, no matter who you are or what you are, there's something in there for you.
Yeah, and I think there's a bit of humour as well. You missed on page 23. It's a guy called Horace. He's gone as long as the magazine is. He doesn't know it, but he's a bit racist, a bit sectarian, a bit misogynistic, and he's working in the community sector. But he's unaware of these the kind of weaknesses he has to his character.
Let us say that he would not be what they would term politically correct, Alan.
No, he wouldn't be, no. And it's just to give people a break from all the politically correct stuff, to be honest. And it's to maybe turn things on their head a bit. And Ara, it's a bit of light humour as well. I was just thinking this morning about a guy I knew. He was a member of so many committees in Moyross. Sean was his name, but he's passed away now, but he used to often say, look, I'm racist, but I really want to blah, 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 help these people or whatever. Now, this is 10, 15 years ago, and I don't think he meant racist to the extent how we see it today, you know. He was trying to, I think, explain that, look, he had a great degree of ignorance, but he didn't have a big education. And where he came from, yes, he was trying to help community and help the community, but he didn't understand everything. But he was the only person I knew who used to say, I'm a bit racist, but what can we do to help? And what's the right thing to do here?
Alan, so, in the climate we're in, we hear an awful lot of worried and stressed editors in the print media, particularly. It is a savage industry. You're going 20 years, you're going from strength to strength. What's your secret?
Sorry, when you were talking about editors there, I suppose the secret would, well, there's no secret, but the formula has been straightforward. I might have my opinion, you might have yours, Tony, and listeners obviously will have theirs, but what we do is we just do journalism, straight journalism. So that's why I'm talking about the guy who's an uncomfortable kind of voice from the grassroots there, Sean, because we go out and conduct journalism and we want to hear what people are saying. And they mightn't have the best way of expressing everything. like somebody who's been to third level and got a master's and a whole lot. But you need to hear the voice from the grassroots, from communities. And now we talk mostly to community workers or community volunteers, like Sean was, not necessarily just to, you know, your average resident, but active people in the community. Yeah, so I think that the ingredient has been, I was a journalist, and that's what I brought to this magazine or newsletter. They had an idea for a newsletter, I had an idea for a magazine. And the magazine idea kind of won the day.
Alan, can I put it to you, having done a little bit of research before I had a chat with you today, that you're very much the print version of what we do here in community radio, insofar as, number one, you're out there, you're up and running, and you're producing your magazine, but you're a non-profit organisation, same as ourselves, you're not for profit, but also that you, like us, you give a voice to people within the community who normally maybe wouldn't be able to get a voice in either media or in print.
We do have a lot in common, Tony. Community Radio and Changing Ireland magazine. I presume the way you work is it's all about participation. It's about getting people involved. And if somebody comes to an ERFM with an idea, you're more likely to listen to them than a commercial radio station would. I had two people inquiring over the Christmas period. I just picked up the emails there asking could they write for the magazine. So, I'm going to get back to them and explain the criteria. Like, it has to be journalism. We don't just want to hear your opinion unless you've got a remarkable thing to say. So we encourage participation too. And yes, we're not for profit. And we cover, like yourselves, a very wide variety of subjects. We're funded, like yourself, through government grants and so on, but to an extent, and we get some more from social enterprise. But we also highlight successful government initiatives on the ground, like libraries, for example. In England, they're closing them down. In Britain, in the Republic here, we're expanding them. We now have over 330 public libraries, and they really are getting better and better. They're becoming community hubs. So, you know, people, like I don't go to the library that much, being honest, but I pass it every day. And, you know, like a lot of readers, unless they're going to read about it somewhere, they're not going to know that libraries have changed. And that's where I think community radio is brilliant. And obviously Changing Ireland is pretty good as well, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, we do a history series here every year, and we do it in conjunction with the libraries, where we take our OB unit out and we record the documentaries actually in the libraries, and we usually do three programs, so we go to three separate libraries here locally. And I am, I suppose, no more than yourself, you know, when you come from the rural Ireland, you appreciate how important the library is. And I'm a firm believer, Alan, in the old adage when it comes to libraries, use it or lose it. And if people don't use them and make use of them, they will be closed and they will be gone. And you and I know throughout the length and breadth of this country, between banks, post offices, etc., when something is closed Garda stations and gone, it's next nigh near impossible to get it back.
And we're kind of backslapping here each other here now, saying how great we are. But just saying about the magazine Changing Ireland, we don't just promote stuff. You know, we have highlighted, no more than has been in the mainstream media, you know, the decline of services, particularly post offices, as you mentioned. We don't ignore the negatives.
Our thanks to Alan Marr from Changing Ireland for that interview, and you can pick up a copy of the magazine at your local newsagents.